doing that, I was face to face with it. It was holding me by my throat, and it felt like it was sucking something out of me.
I probably should have been more scared than I was when I witnessed the exorcism.
I turned and looked on my right side. When I did, there's a beam on the side of the tree, a large beam. It's looking at me, and I'm looking at it.
After I hit the lock button and looked back up, I saw red eyes staring back at me.
That they're going to show multiple gods all over the earth, be able to speak in people's languages, and at that point, it kind of converge into this one entity, which will be revealed as extraterrestrial. You'll realize that aliens are the gods of old, and at that point, it'll wipe religion out of the context of humanity.
No way, it couldn't have been a person, I know that. I know that people can't run through the woods like that.
So this thing comes into view, and I see it. It's 50 yards away from me. It's walking on two legs. It's huge. This is a big, hairy looking being.
Welcome. I'm your host, and this is Uncomfortable.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. I am your host, Eric Szilagyi. If you've had an uncomfortable experience and you'd like to share it here on the show, please get a hold of me at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com. The world wants to hear your experience. They want to hear your story. So reach out to me and let's get yours on the next episode of Uncomfortable. If you haven't yet, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, both at Uncomfortable Podcast 65. And when you do, please make sure to leave us a 5-star rating and review. That alone is the one way that you can best help get this show out in front of others into the algorithm. More people viewing means more people with more experiences coming to the show for you. Uncomfortable Linktree is now operational and the single best place that you can find any and everything uncomfortable all in one spot. All of my Uncomfortable podcast episodes, links to the YouTube, links to the Penford Media documentary series that I've been in, and other podcasts that I've had the pleasure of being a guest on. That's Linktree/Uncomfortable1, and that is spelled with the lowercase u, uppercase n, just like the logo. We'd love for you to help support the show by visiting the Uncomfortable merch store and picking up some cool Uncomfortable shirts, sweatshirts, hats, but time's running out. We're pushing out the closing of the store until Sunday, May 5th. There's a lot of great styles on there. We've added new colors and additional styles, especially for the ladies out there. So if you've been wanting the most comfortable in uncomfortable attire, now is your chance. The online store is a great way to get you guys a bunch of different options without me having to carry a large inventory. So you place the order, they print it once the store is closed, and they ship it right to you. So there's not a lot of issue with it whatsoever. It's a great way for me to be able to provide you guys with merch and not me having to have shelves full of shirts to ship out. Please help out the show. We appreciate it. The link for that will be in the show notes and also on the Linktree. That is also probably the easiest way to find the Eventbrite link for tickets to this year's Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2. Don't forget to check out the combo ticket there on the Eventbrite site for September 13th, VIP dinner, and September 14th, the day of event. That combo ticket is a discounted price from the regular ticket prices, and it still includes your dinner and one drink as a part of the cost of the ticket. That's going to get you 2 hours with all 5 of the speakers and myself. So if you're interested, please head over to that. Again, the date for that is September 13th for the VIP, September 14th for the Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2 event. Make sure to go check out our sponsors at eufyofficial.com/videolock. And see what all the fuss is about. Links to our Patreon, YouTube, and Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2, all things uncomfortable, will be found on the link tree. That will be listed in the show notes for you. Now, tonight's guest is Kadra Brannon, the host of Perplexity, a mystery podcast. And she's here to share some of the strange paranormal occurrences that she's experienced throughout her life. So, if you're ready, let's get into it. If you will, please give a warm, uncomfortable welcome to Kadra Brennan, the host of Perplexity Podcast, a mystery podcast. Perplexity? I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Perplexity, a mystery podcast. Kadra, how are you? Thank you for being with us.
Hi, I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm well. I screwed that all up at the end, and I apologize for that.
It's all good.
So before we get into anything, please straighten me out. The name of the podcast and the topics that you cover.
Sure. Yeah. So it is a mouthful. So my podcast is called Perplexity, a mystery podcast, and it's dedicated to all things mysterious. So similar to topics that you discuss on your show, I talk about cryptids, paranormal encounters. I have guests on my show every once in a while as well. I also cover true crime. So just a lot of mysterious phenomena that I basically find new tales that have left me perplexed, and I talk about them each week.
Very good. Very good. And I think there is a definite crossover between a show like mine that strictly sticks to the paranormal and the cryptids and stuff like that, and the true crime, the mystery. I mean, some of the things that I was looking at on your that's in your library, let's call it, very, very reminiscent of things that you would find on Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes, I love Unsolved Mysteries. That's a show that I grew up watching. And when they kind of revamped it over the last few years and they released it on Netflix, I got so excited. I was like, oh, I have to go watch these, and binged them all. So yeah,
Did a great job. Did a great job on that. In fact, I think it might have been season two, the one that they had about the UFO lights over Lake Michigan.
Yes.
That actually happened. Well, where it started is about 2.5 hours from me, and where it ended is about 30 minutes from me. So,
oh wow,
when it was happening, not as it was happening, but once the report came out about it, that was very local to me. So there was a lot going on about that. I actually did a show about that episode with the gentleman that was in there that ran the radar up in Muskegon. And then also on that show, we had the MUFON director, the state director for MUFON out of Michigan, as a co-guest on there. So that was a really interesting. And then actually, unbeknownst to me, a gentleman that I worked with later that same year was at a location on the lakeshore, and he and the people he was with saw the very same lights doing the very same things. And then after they departed, a couple of minutes after that, there were military jets that were flying from west to east, coming over the lake from the Chicago area in pursuit.
So, oh, wow.
That was pretty cool.
Do you know how much time had passed between the original sighting and
the original sighting? I think took place in March. It was cold. And when he had his sighting, it was in mid late summer.
Okay.
So when I got that information, I gave it to the MUFON director, and he was able to go back, and he found a series of sightings that had been continuing to happen from the March incident all the way through for the next seven months.
Wow, so that's whatever
fascinating. Whatever was going on was not just an isolated incident. It was continuing to happen. So and then not too long after that, there was a report of a commercial airline that was flying over Lake Michigan, crossing from Michigan into Indiana airspace via the state line, I suppose, who were witnessing the same exact thing out over the waters, kind of around Gary, Indiana. So
wow,
it was
those are always the compelling ones.
Yeah, especially when you have the continued, you know, eyewitness sightings, of credible eyewitness sightings, that something's definitely going on there. Something's definitely of interest to whatever is in those things. So
absolutely.
Kydra. So you sent me a, kind of an outline of some of the things that you've had happen. Hmm. One of them you said you've never talked about before. So, is that in the paranormal, or is that the one that you had a knock on your door?
The paranormal one is the one that I've never talked about before.
So let's hang on to that one for the end.
Okay.
So, cause that one really kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah. It's very strange.
What got you into wanting to do the podcast?
Yeah. So I've listened to true crime podcasts for a really long time, you know, since they started getting really popular. So this would have been probably 7 or 8 years ago. And it was just year after year after year. That's what I would do. It was if maybe 10% of the time I was listening to music, and the rest of the time when I was driving, I was listening to some type of true crime podcast. And then I started coming across more and more in the mystery realm. And I've always loved mysteries. We grew up watching Unsolved Mysteries and CSI and Law and Order in my house, kind of a true crime household. Mm-hmm. And I think around the time of COVID, I just kind of started thinking about my career and what I wanted to do, because I have a career as a speech pathologist, and it's a great career and I love healthcare. But at the same time, it's I don't know, this part of me that was kind of itching to branch out into a different world a little bit, because I did grow up in the arts, and my dad does voiceover. Like I was telling you earlier, he's a writer. We grew up doing theater and things like that. And when I was younger, I wanted to do acting. That didn't work out. And I just started coming across these different podcasts. And it just made me think what if I did something like that? But I knew I didn't want to do a strictly true crime podcast. I wanted to be able to open myself up to a little bit wider of a genre. And I loved mysteries. So I didn't fully know by any means what I was getting myself into, how much work it was going to be, but started doing it and haven't taken a week off since I started December 2022. And it's a small independent podcast. I'm very proud of how far it's gotten. It's kind of become a family affair. My parents have bought my merch, and my dad does my voiceover intro outros.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, that's my dad. So it's slowly growing, and my dad actually was here this past weekend and asked, so what's your goal and where do you see it going? And I was honestly, this may sound bad to some people, but I don't have a goal. My goal, if anything, is to talk about stories that fascinate me. And if that resonates with somebody and connects with them, then that's what I want. I want to be able to create. It's kind of like when an artist is I have to create something. So I'm in that headspace now where if I am not making an episode or I'm not creating, then I feel unproductive.
It's interesting that because you kind of strike a chord with me, because my girlfriend has said, where do you see this going? How much time do you want to invest in this? How big do you want it to get? Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard question to answer, because, mm-hmm. Obviously I'd love to have millions of listeners. It's never really been about making bank on it. If somebody were to ask me what my motivation for continuing to do this is, and I don't know that I could really give them a great answer, because reviews are one thing. When you read people that obviously the show resonates with them, that's a good feeling. Getting recognized by other podcasts is a great feeling. Would I like to get to the point where this was a self-sustaining, I guess I can say that, the show sustain itself. So it's making, it's paying the bills for itself. It's not, it's no longer costing me anything. But you know, sure, it'd be great to be able to get this to become a, you know, a significant part-time job, you know, financially. Yeah. So, but it's never been about money for me on it. So, I mean, it's weird because like when I do try to think of ways to, you know, promote the show and increase the popularity and try to get, you know, perks to other listeners, when you start charging for things, it kind of feels weird. You know, it's, I don't know. I haven't been able to wrap my head around it, and I don't know, hopefully I can at some point, but you know, you'd think after 3 years, three plus years, you'd have a better idea, but I really don't.
I resonate with that as well. I feel like if I had to explain why I do this, I think like when I started this podcast there, I just realized there were so many things that I wanted to know about. Like I've always craved learning and knowledge, and I pride myself in being a pretty open-minded person. So when I hear something that I don't understand, I try to not dismiss it. I want to ask questions. I want to know all the different possibilities of how that could have been or what that could have been. And I think that's a big reason why I like do this week after week, because I get to learn about a new topic every week that is fascinating to me. Or you go into a story thinking it's going to go one way and it's something completely different, or your mind changes like six times while you're researching something. And that makes it really fun. And like you said, if you reach a fan or another podcast and they reach out to you and are like, hey, I see you and I really appreciate what you're doing, or that was a really cool episode, that definitely keeps us going, because it is a lot of work, but at the same time, it's a passion. So I have gotten to where I can now be in this, like, at least in this point in my life right now, I do contract work. I can be flexible with my work schedule. So I'm doing my career Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I've kind of turned this into my other job, where Tuesdays and Thursdays I'm like recording and researching. And sometimes if I don't finish something up, I'm doing that a little bit on the weekend.
Yeah.
I feel like I had to do the podcast for like a whole year before I got comfortable with the idea of even asking for any kind of money. Like that, I made the Patreon about a year after I started doing the podcast, and I still feel weird being like, pay me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a strange thing.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, it's a humbling thing for sure. You know, and I try to keep ego out of it. I don't have a lot of ego as far as this goes. I'm very proud of the sound of the show. I'm very proud of the presentation. You know, fairly recently I've started doing the video component of it as well on YouTube. I'm very proud of the studio and how it looks and the cameras and everything. It's just, it's a weird, you know, I've talked to some people that have obviously been impacted by being on the show. Mm. And it's, I think it's those people that really continue to drive, because when you get a message back from somebody who had been a guest and they tell you that, you know, this XYZ experience that they had, had left them, you know, utterly confounded. But after being able to come on to a show like this and talk about it openly without anybody, you know, like really putting the screws to them as far as questions and, you know, giving them, making them feel that they were weird or stupid or, you know, lying or stuff like that. Hearing from those people, that's a pretty powerful thing. And I think like at the end of the day, I think when you boil it all down, I think that's the reason that I keep doing it, because there've been more than a handful of those people that have reached back out afterwards and said, you know, this was, I'm not going to use the word life changing, but you know, it definitely opened it up. And then on the other hand, you know, I'm open-minded. So being able to talk to people who see things from a different perspective and being able to kind of look through that lens that they're using doesn't necessarily change how I feel about something or what my beliefs are on something, but it does let me look at things through a different lens. Now, instead of just looking at it the way I looked at it, now I can look at it the way they did or someone else did. And it does tend to open things up a little bit more for me.
Absolutely.
Let's get into some of your creepier stuff that you've had happen. You said you grew up in a couple of houses that had some unwelcomed.
Yes. So I had a house I lived in for the first 4 years of my life, and then another house that I lived in through like my early college years. My parents came down this past weekend to visit me, and I mentioned as they were leaving this morning that I was going to be doing this recording. I fact checked a couple of things with them, and the experiences that I had were actually all in this one house that I lived in after age four, the one I stayed in through early college years. So turns out it was all in this one house, but yeah, do you just want me to get into the
get right into it?
So a little important backstory that I think is relevant is I grew up in a very religious household. My beliefs as I've become more of an adult have changed just as I've had my own experiences and started thinking more for myself. But I grew up in a very Christian household. My father was a pastor my entire life, and, you know, it was just a very spiritual family. And the more that I've done this podcast as well, I've kind of realized, like, when you are a very spiritual person, you're going to be more prone to like those attacks. And that seems to be what was happening. It never got past the oppression stage in my house, but there were definitely times where my parents would be creating something for church, like writing a play, or my dad would be working on like a sermon that he thought was really compelling, and activity in our house would ramp up more. My parents would fight a lot, and I just kind of thought that it was because they didn't get along. But I feel like as I've gotten older, it was something spiritual. There's a particular time that I remember where I was home alone, and we had a two-story house. My bedroom was right next to the office that my mom would do work in. And I don't remember what I was doing in my room, but the door was open and I heard someone call my name, clear as day, Kadra. And it sounded like it was coming from the office. And so I was really confused. I was like, is my mom home? Because it was a distinct like female voice. So I got up, and I knew nobody was home. So I was like, sounds like mom, but I know it's not mom. I'm kind of creeping towards the office, but I didn't step foot in there. And I remember calling out like mom or hello. And as soon as I did that, I got these goosebumps on my neck. And, you know, that like hair standing up on your neck feeling, I felt like something was behind me, like intently watching me. And I got this sharp rush of air in my left ear, and something whispered my name, Kadra, like really sharp, just straight into this ear. And I remember just like shoulders went up to my ears, and I like looked behind me, and I'm looking all around, and, you know, there's obviously nobody there. Yeah. I don't even remember if I shared that with my parents or not. But there was things like that that would happen. When I was much younger in that same house, there was a particular instance where I was, you know, I was young. So I was very strong in my faith when I was younger. I didn't know any different. And there was one night I was laying in bed, and the only way I can explain it is if you stare at a light for too long and then you look away and you have that colorful orb kind of thing from staring at the light for too long. Mm-hmm. I started seeing a bunch of those in my room, but my room was dark. And they were like rolling around on the ground and moving around on my bed. And I was like, this is really weird. I don't know what's happening. But I wasn't scared of them. They were small, just moving around. But then I looked in the corner of my room, and from the floor to the ceiling was a shadow figure. And the shadow figure, that scared me. It was like, it felt very menacing, and I could tell it was a body. It didn't move. It just, like, I felt like it was standing there staring at me. And I remember calling for my dad. I don't remember if I got out of bed or if I just called for him, but my dad came into the room and I told him what was going on. And I asked him, like, not too long ago about this instance, if he remembered it and if he could see anything. And he said that he could see the shadow figure as well.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He said he saw it in the same corner of the room that I did. And I asked him specific questions before I told him the story, just to see if it would kind of match up with what I said. And everything that he said matched up. Like, yeah, it was like this tall, it didn't move, blah, blah, blah. Like, and like, I asked if you could see through it, like very specific questions. Yeah. And it all lined up with what I was saying and what I remembered. But he felt like there was some type of demonic entity in my room, and he told me to cast out the demons. So he was like, you know, they have no authority over you. In Jesus' name, tell them to get out. And so the little, like, orb things in the room, like, one by one started leaving.
Was he seeing the orbs as well?
He said he saw the little orb things and saw them leaving, and then that he also saw the shadow figure.
That's crazy that you have another witness to it.
I know. I thought the same thing. I thought for sure when I told him that he wouldn't have seen it, but he says he did.
That's interesting, because my one and only time of seeing it, well, I can't say it's one and only now. For a very long time, my only experience with a shadow person was when I was quite young. Had to sleep with the hallway light on, and always had to have my door, you know, 5, 6, 7 inches open instead of being closed. And I remember rolling over and looking at the doorway, and there was a completely dark figure. I guess I'd have to say it was black or very charcoal gray, head to probably, I'm sure I didn't look at it from head to toe, but, you know, from the head to the waist in my vision. And my mom and dad were the only other two people. I was an only kid. So there was nobody else in the house. They were in bed. I was in bed, and the silhouette was definitely not my mom or dad. You know, my mom was very roly-poly. She was kind of a big girl, and on the short side. And my dad had a very distinctive flat top haircut. And this thing, person, shadow person, had like a little bit longer, maybe wavy hair. Definitely looked masculine to me. Scared the hell out of me. But I, like, were you told your parents about it? I never said anything to my parents. It was something that I never talked about until I had a reading from a a very good psychic medium out on the East Coast. And she was a guest on the show. And then as a thank you, she's like, can I do a reading for you? You know, as a thank you for having me on the show. And I was like, yeah, sure. I've never had one. And she brought it up. And I was like, wait a minute now. I've never talked about this.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that was creepy. But the weird thing that she said was that, you know, and again, that she was a psychic medium, so take it for whatever it's worth, but she said that it was very confusing to her because she did not know what it was or where it came from. She said she could tell that it was not malicious. And that it had shown itself to me multiple times during periods where I had a lot of questions.
See, that's interesting because so I heard a story recently from my sister that she saw a shadow figure while she was putting her 1-year-old son to bed. And it was in their nursery. And at that time, her and her husband, not to get into details, but they were going through some marital problems. Mm-hmm. And it was specifically because of things going on with the husband. And she told me that his family, they have a strong belief that the men in their family are plagued with some type of shadow figure. And when they are doing things that they shouldn't be doing or they're struggling mentally, it seems like this shadow figure appears. So it's almost like a reflection of your subconscious, I guess. Yeah. So it's interesting you bring that up because that was the first time I'd ever heard someone explain something like that, where it's like, it's not a separate being necessarily from you. Like maybe it is, but it's connected to you in some way. And it appears at these specific times.
Yeah, it was very odd. And I mean, I still don't know what to make of it. You know, I mean, she's a psychic medium. So, you know, some people will say, oh, she's full of shit. And, you know, there is no such thing. I know a couple that have wowed me with some of the things that they've said. I know one that doesn't even profess themselves to be a psychic medium. They just are. And she again, was the second person that ended up being able to pull that out from just talking to me.
I wish I could remember her name, but I was listening to a podcast recently about a psychic. She passed away when she was 66, but I think her first name was Greta, and the stories were very compelling. Like she was able to predict some very interesting things, like faulty wiring in stores and would like prevent them from fires. Tried to warn this guy that he was going to have a heart attack and he ended up dying of a heart attack. Like there were some very specific things where I was just like, how do you explain that away?
Yeah, there's, like I said, there, you know, there have been numerous ones that have been proven to be frauds.
Absolutely. No, there's a lot of frauds. Yeah.
But there are some that I would stand on a hill and, you know, the thing with me is, you know, I said before we started the show, I'm going to be 59 this June. My age demographic, I don't think is prone to being that out there on social media. You know, I didn't get social media until I started doing this podcast as a way to help promote it. So I'm not the guy that's, you know, posting pictures of my kids every time they fart sideways or, you know, telling everybody how much I love my family or anything. I'm not that guy. To me, that should go to, it should go without saying. You shouldn't be looking for attention for things like that.
Right.
So, you know, there's never been information out there about me until I started doing this show. And, you know, some of the things that these three women in particular have been able to tell me is beyond me. There's no way they could have, you know, looked up online or contacted people that I know to have come up with these things. So it's pretty interesting. When you run into a real one, it's kind of jarring.
I find psychics to be fascinating. That's like one of my favorite mystery elements, like anything psychological too. I find that really, really compelling.
So after this, where do we move on to?
What else did we have? The true crime kind of experience that I had, and is there anything else before the encounter I've never talked about?
Well, you talked about your parents and the guardian angel, possibly.
Yes, sorry. As soon as I said that, yeah, I just remembered that. This story I have told on my podcast before, but it's been a long time. So I think I was in high school and my sister would have been in middle school because she's 4 years younger than me. But like I said, my family was very religious growing up. So we would have like church groups at our house all the time. That was like the regular thing. And my parents had like a small group going on in our living room with a bunch of church people. And then me and my friend were in the backyard. My sister was playing across the street with our neighbors. And so me and my sister are both outside, but in different areas, obviously. I heard a really loud scream. It sounded like a woman, but I found out later it was my sister, I guess because I just never heard her scream like that. So I ran over to the fence when I heard this scream and looked over, and across the street I see my sister. And she had been playing on a rope swing with my neighbor. He was spinning her around. And the rope, you know, was twisting and twisting. And so it got cinched around her hair. And then the rope, I think, on the bottom broke to where my friend couldn't, or our neighbor friend couldn't, like, hold the rope for her anymore. So she was stuck in this tree hanging by her hair with this rope. And all I saw looking over the fence is my sister with a rope in her like head neck area. Yeah. So it really, really scared me. So I ran inside really quickly to tell my parents what was going on. And then, you know, maybe 30 seconds after that, me, my parents, their friends were all in the front yard with my sister. But between the time of me running inside and us all running across the street, this woman had appeared out of nowhere, and she's pretty short. So she was like struggling to hold my sister up, but she's holding her up on her shoulders. And she didn't say anything to us the entire time, which I thought was a little weird. But she was like a short Hispanic woman. I remember she had like a black and white striped shirt. She looked just like you and me. Like not see-through or anything like that. And she had a baby stroller with her. And I remember like short dark hair pulled back. And as soon as we all got out there, we were like, you know, thank you. Like, I think my dad said something like, we've got her now. Thank you so much. And as soon as my dad took over, like literally instantly, I remember turning and that woman was gone. No idea where she went. And where this was on our street, there's no way that she could have just like vanished. Like, it's not on a corner, or there's not an alley that she could have slipped into. It's literally just a straight street, and there was a whole block before you could get anywhere. And that would have been the same way she had just come from. And the other reason that we feel like this could have been some type of guardian angel is because of how we all described her later. So after we get my sister down from the tree, and she's fine other than losing some hair. We're talking about this experience. And I think one of us said, like, oh, thank God that lady was there, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know why her appearance came up, but we were trying to describe her. And I feel like it was my mom, but somebody chimed in and was like, yeah, that blonde lady, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, she was short with dark hair, blah, blah, blah. And we all had completely different descriptions of her.
Really?
Yeah, like very, very different. And that's very strange to me. Like, I know that in like traumatic situations, it's hard to take in details of people, but for them to be that completely different, like my dad said she had red hair. My mom said she had blonde hair. I said she had a baby carrier with her. My sister remembers her having another person with her, like just very, very different details. And then, like I said, just the location in the neighborhood, her just being gone that fast, was very, very strange.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, you know, like if you put, you know, 10 people on a street corner and there's an accident, you know, then the police come and they take statements down. And, you know, out of those 10 people, everybody saw it from a different perspective. Everybody was looking at something different when it happened. So it's natural to find there be some inconsistencies. But then there's always a way to draw into each one of the people's experience as far as, you know, the commonalities that show up, you know. But when you're talking about a handful of people who saw this woman getting your sister down out of this, off this rope, to be that consistently different. How did your dad describe her?
Well, we all said she was a woman, but that was literally like the only thing that we all said was the same. I remember like my dad saying she had red hair, mom saying she had blonde hair. I don't remember how my sister described her, but I remember my sister saying there were two people and I saw the baby carrier. I think my sister saw the baby carrier as well. So there were like
was it like a baby stroller?
Or yeah,
like what you would carry that would hook into a car seat?
It was a stroller.
So it would make sense that, you know, I mean, nobody's going to take off running like a track star with a baby in a stroller.
That was the other thing I thought about. Yeah.
To get that far out of your line of sight when you turn to see that she was gone.
Right. And I mean, I'm sure too that you get different people that walk through your neighborhood every once in a while, but we had a pretty small neighborhood and we would see like the same people over and over, like walking. And I had never seen that woman before. I was outside like every single day playing with my sister, playing with the neighbors, never saw her again. It was just very unexplained.
That's such a strange set of circumstances. I mean, for her to wind up in that position to begin with.
Yeah.
You know,
that's my sister. Gets into some strange situations.
Have you ever looked at these things? See, I have the privilege of talking to a lot of people who have grown up in the same type of family that you have, very religious, you know, father's a pastor, mom's heavily involved in the church, you know, church group meetings at the houses and stuff like that. And like, I'm reading into what you said, you know, about your faith, having changed considerably since that time. And it seems, from the conversations that I've had, it seems that those people are maybe being tested, or that because they've pulled away from what they've grown up with, that they seem to be a little bit of a stray, and mm-hmm. they might be easily turned towards the darkness.
Hmm. Yeah, I consider myself agnostic. I still am open to the idea of a higher power. I think the organized religion is what started to turn me off as I got more into adulthood. And it's very hard for my parents because they're still very in that. So it was really hard, like the first year that, like, cause I kept like my.
Hey, all my uncomfortable friends, you've heard me talking about the Eufy Video Lock for some time now. And I gotta tell you, this thing is a game changer. Smart lock, security camera, and doorbell all in one unit, and all it took was a Phillips screwdriver to install it. The Eufy Video Lock, that's EUFY Video Lock, allows for unlocking the door three different ways: through fingerprint technology, passcode entry, or physical keys. The crystal clear 2K video is instantly accessible with no monitoring or monthly subscription needed. It even has two-way audio when you use the free Wi-Fi driven iOS or Android compatible Eufy Video Lock app. I have a brick home, and there was no way I was going to drill through the brick and hardwire any of the other options out there just for the sake of having a video doorbell. But with the Eufy Video Lock, simply replacing the deadbolt on your front door and operating on a rechargeable battery that lasts up to 4 months, that was the perfect choice for me. With the Eufy Video Lock, you get an incredible 18-month warranty and 24/7 customer service. Search Eufy Video Lock, that's EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to take complete control of your entry doors now.
My beliefs changed when I was in my early 20s, and I didn't talk to them about it until like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I think about 3 years ago. And the first year after that was really hard. Like, we didn't really talk to each other that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting because, like I said, you know, had some significant experiences with that upbringing. And then as I got older and my beliefs started changing, I haven't had any experiences like that. So I don't know if it's like because I'm not tuned into that anymore, or if it's because there's this part of me that's like, nope, I'm going to turn that off. We're not thinking about that. But my parents have had a lot of experiences. My sister is still a Christian and has had a pretty significant amount of experiences as well. Like I said, she saw that shadow figure like several months back. So yeah, it's interesting, kind of that transition of how, like, spiritually how my life has been, because I have had some significant, what I feel is significant but unexplained events, like when I was in those younger years and those beliefs, and now I'm like out of it and I haven't had any of those experiences. So that's really, like, for me personally, I tie it to when you are in that spiritual realm and you are doing like positive things, then there can be dark spiritual forces that are trying to attack you. Like, I still believe that that happens to people. And I think that now that I'm not in that anymore, I'm not having that happen to me. But I do talk about things like that on the podcast. So I have had those thoughts of like, I wonder if now that I'm doing this podcast, will things start happening again? So far, I haven't had anything. But
well, you have a varied variety of things on your show.
That's true.
I tend to, weekly delve into it's. I have to say that the amount of experiences that I have had has ramped up, I want to say considerably. But by saying that, I don't want to give the impression that it's happened to me on a daily basis or a weekly basis. You know, I had a lifetime of weird shit happen, and, you know, but that was over the course of many years. Since I've started doing this, I've had a number of interactions within a short period of time. And I firmly believe, and I've said this on multiple shows before, that when you start looking into the darkness, at a point, whether it's just curiosity or you start to entertain those kind of thoughts, whatever is in the dark starts to recognize that your attention is turned towards them. And I think that they do their little things to let you know they're there. And that's kind of an unnerving thing. Like when you realize that you may be on their radar, that's not a great feeling.
I would imagine it's not. No.
But I don't know how to, circumvent that, other than, you know, I do my own thing to, you know, protect myself, protect my equipment, protect, you know, my studio, my home. You know, and it seems to have worked. But every once in a while, there is that really off-putting thing that happens, and it's like, I don't like that shit happening here. not in my home.
I'm curious too. So this hasn't happened to any of my listeners as far as I know, but like I have some friends that have a pretty significant following on their podcast, and they've had listeners reach out to them and say that they started having experiences after they started listening to their podcast. I'm curious if you've had anything like that where a listener said, like, after I listened to this episode, this weird thing happens to me, or
I've had a few. I've had a few. I think more so, like, there's been a couple of interviews that I've done where people have isolated like EVPs that happened during the recording that was never came to the forefront for me until they brought it up. One in particular was with Bo Kennedy from the Bump podcast. And oddly enough, he's a very Christian based podcast. He talks about all this weird stuff, but he's very Christian in his faith. And we had, you know, a couple of EVPs that happened, and we had, the thing that happens most for me, I think, is the technical issues. You know, camera shutting off for no good apparent reason, or for, you know, during that specific interview with Bo, he apparently has two cameras in his studio, and the one that he was using to do the interview with me shut off. The other one turned on, and what I had in my screen, I was looking through the second camera that then had like his computer and something else, and then his camera and some other stuff before it even got to him. So this camera that turned on was like completely on the other side of the room and was not even used for when he does interviews. So why it switched over to that, and it just some very, I've had, you know, difficulties with people who have, especially talking about like fallen angels and the Nephilim and stuff like that, where, just an inordinate amount of problems with getting the recording done. And then, you know, at one point he was, this one gentleman, he was recording his part on his end, and then he was going to send me his audio so that I could put it together and we all sounded like we were in the same room, much like what StreamYard does now. But at that time, it wasn't available. And, you know, he tried three or four times to send his audio to me. And it was, you know, the better part of 90 minutes worth of audio. And it would only come through like 20 minutes at a time. I'd only get the first 20 minutes and then he'd send it again. And I'd only get the first 20 minutes. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? You know? And I mean, it's technology, right? So, you know, sometimes you send emails that don't get to people. Sometimes you have internet interruptions. You lose signal. Your router needs to be restarted. I mean, there's all kinds of things, but there's been a lot of that kind of stuff that, and you know, like, can get through some interviews with about Bigfoot and I never have any problems. Mm-hmm. But you know, you start talking about the spiritual stuff, especially mm-hmm. like the darker spiritual stuff, mm-hmm. that always seems to kind of end up getting something to happen. So
yeah, and I mean that makes sense because I've heard a lot like entities haunt people. As you know, they can haunt places too, but they definitely haunt people specifically, like, and can get attachments. So, I mean, I did have a podcast that I recorded with several months ago. She's in the trailer park, actually, Natasha from Cryptids, Creeps, and Conspiracies. Mm-hmm. And she gets a lot of like weird activity in her recordings, and she's had like weird experiences in her home. She had an EVP come through in our recording and neither of us heard it. But when she was going back through and editing afterwards, she heard it and it sounded like a man or some type of entity growling. And it was short. It was only for like a second, but it was like this heavy breathing growl type noise. And it was over both of our voices.
Yeah.
Only yeah, happened that, once, but really, that, really creepy.
Yeah, I think, and here's the problem with that. Unless you know somebody really, really well, you don't know what their private life is like. You don't know what they delve into. You don't know what types of things they entertain.
That's very true.
You know, so
and you record with a lot of different people.
Yeah. And hence why I do my little thing that I do, you know, my protection, I guess friend of mine calls it bubbling up, you know, and, you know, I mean, is it silly? Maybe, you know, does it do anything? Maybe not, but, I do it because, mm-hmm. you know, I had an experience this last September where, I was hosting Bigfoot and Brews, for the second year. And I had a listener, who was working a vending table there, and she had overheard this girl talking about having a dogman experience up in Northern Michigan. And wow. She says, oh, you got to go talk to Eric. So she walked her over and introduced her to me. And I was sitting on the top of a picnic table and she sat down next to me. And inside of 3 minutes, at the most, I was an emotional wreck. I was crying. My emotions were completely out of check. I was trembling. I literally felt something like come off of her and creep across the back of my back. Started with my shoulder that was closest to her. And then it like worked its way all the way across to my left shoulder. And the heaviness and it was surreal. I mean, had that many people not seen me break down and cry, you know, I mean, talk about embarrassing. You know, I'm hosting my Bigfoot event and, you know, we're maybe a couple hours into it. And I'm sitting there right out in front of everybody. And I just lost my shit.
Wow.
You know, thankfully, a guest who had been on the show, the Archbishop, Christina Rake from Chicago, she was there in attendance. And when I lifted my head, the only thing I saw in front of me at like two picnic tables over was Christina, and she was just getting her food delivered to her table. And all I could think was, you know, I can't interrupt her. She just got her food, but I could do nothing but grab that girl by the arm and walked her over to Christina and said, you have to talk to her. And then I had to excuse myself and got out of everybody's view, and just, I lost my shit for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And Christina ended up having to, pray over me.
Wow.
And when she did, my knees buckled. Now, I grew up Catholic, had not been practicing for a long, long time. My thoughts on religion, organized religion, you know, I believe in a creator. I believe in that, but it's not through going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And when she prayed over me, my knees buckled, and I literally felt that weight come off of my back and my shoulders.
Wow.
And I looked at her after it was done. I'm like, fuck, does this mean I'm Catholic after all? You know? And she just smiled, and, you know, she's like, it doesn't matter what you think you are. She's like, you're good, you know. But she did say, had she not been there, had there not been somebody that could have done that for me, and if I would have gone home with that. And this was a really interesting part of it, because I always looked at that kind of an infestation as it leaving one person and going to another.
Mm.
She says that's not correct. She says it spreads like a virus. It didn't leave that girl. It just replicated and went to me as well.
Wow. I've never thought of it that way either, but that actually makes sense.
Yeah. It never dawned on me that would be the way that it happens. And
wow.
And I was like, to what end? I mean, I didn't know this woman from anything. She's like, you gotta understand that, you know, you're there. The majority of the people that are in the audience are there because they're a listener of the show.
Hmm.
She's like, you are the personality that is running the whole thing. You know, you brought the speakers, you set up the thing. It's all your deal. She's like, so you're super open. You are so open because, you know, you're meeting people that listen to you and you're having great conversations and, you know, everything is great and wonderful and, you know, it's a great day. And she's like, you are not protected at all. And she said that thing just decided to latch on, and its goal would have been to get into my house, get into my kids, to get into my family, and just do its thing, do its nasty shit. And so thankfully she was there, and I have not had any lasting effects from it, but tell you, as far as somebody who is very skeptical about a lot of things in religion, I've changed my mind back to prayer. Prayer does work.
I believe that too, personally. I feel like our beliefs are actually very similar, as you were just talking through your thought process with that. Like, and I say this as like a healthcare worker too. So I'm a speech pathologist. I do a lot with cognitive therapy with patients, learned a lot about the brain. And there's also like evidence-based peer-reviewed research about the power of prayer and meditation and how it strengthens your cerebrocortex. And it helps significantly with mental health, longevity of life. You know, there's a lot of benefits to prayer and to meditation. As far as who you're praying to, I personally don't think it matters. I think it's a lot of like, there's this connection mentally and spiritually. I feel like when you're praying, it's giving you that extra connection. Like you know, I've heard this a lot before. It's like we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah.
So when you pray, it's kind of opening up more of that. You're tapping into that spiritual self, and it's healing in a way. I believe that.
I do 100%. I mean, to me, the proof was September 9th, 2023. So, you know, that was powerful stuff. I mean, it didn't change. It didn't thrust me into headlong into Christianity or thrust me headlong back into the Catholic faith or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it definitely, it's weird because it's very hard to talk.
It's hard
about.
To articulate. Yeah.
I mean, it has strengthened my belief in something.
Right. I actually very much relate. I relate to that. I think it's hard because you can try to be so logical about it. Right. And it's like, we, as humans, it's like, we like categories. We like putting a name or a label to something. Like, if you're sick, you want a diagnosis so you can know the problem and how to treat said problem, right? But you can't do that in this universe with everything. And so I think it's okay. I can't remember who I was recording with, but several months ago I said something similar where I was like, I think it's okay to not know. And like, when I hear stories from other people, it's like, oh, it could be this, it could be this. And that's something I always try to tie into my episodes, is like, I really try to not pin it to a specific thing. Like, here's what it actually was. It must have been this. It's like, there's so many things it could have been. It doesn't have to have a name to it. It's more about the experience itself.
It is. I agree 100%. You know, and anytime there's money to be made, I think you run the risk of there being disingenuous stuff. So how does that relate to like organized religions, right?
Yep.
So many religions throughout the world, so many cultures throughout the world have blood events. They have figures that are similar to Jesus Christ, that, you know, instead of being God, it's, you know, Allah or whoever it is. But there's so many similarities that I cannot believe that all of the religions of the world, other than Satanism, I guess, are all started in the same, with the same events. It's all the same. It's all the same God. It's all the same creator, or the, you know, I mean, they've just turned it into their own, you know, whether it's a cultural thing or what. And, you know, for one religion to say they're the one true only religion, I disagree with that, because I think, you know, if you're having a personal relationship with that, you know, if you're one of those people that goes to church because you think it's the right thing to do, but you don't have a personal relationship with why you're there, then you're just going through the motions, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't feel the need to go through those motions. I have my personal relationship with whatever created me. And, you know, whether that's just innate of the universe that I happen to be a happy accident or, you know, whatever it is, at least I have a relationship with it and I respect it. And, so yeah, I don't, it's such a, I admire people who have such undaunting faith that they can stand behind one thing and say, this is it. This is the answer. This is the one true answer. I admire that. My issue is I have too many questions. And when you get into religion, nobody likes people who ask questions. They don't, they want blind faith following. And I got questions. So.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's another reason why like doing podcasting like this is so good is because we have all these questions and we're probably not going to get a lot of answers, but it's like, we're meeting with like-minded individuals who are like, I've had this experience. I'm having a difficulty articulating it. I'm having a hard time talking about it, but I know you're going to understand. And yep. So it's like you have those opportunities to still make those spiritual connections in a less organized capitalistic way, you know?
Right. All right. Where do we go from here?
Got those other experiences.
Let's get into
how are
the,
you on time. Are you doing okay on time?
Yeah, let's get into the last one that you the strange man.
The one I haven't talked about before.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So this also happened when I was a child, and
roughly
there was
What age?
I want to say I was in middle school. This is the other thing that's hard about this is I regret not telling anybody about this, and I regret not talking about it or like trying to write it down because my memory is a little bit fuzzy. So I'll tell you what I remember and try to piece it together as best as I can. The good news is there's other people that were involved that saw something as well. But I was at our neighborhood church one night because my parents were on staff there and there was a tornado watch in our area and it was supposed to be touching down in the area. And so my parents wanted to go up there with some of the congregation and like pray over the city so that there wouldn't be any destruction. So we drove up there and my parents and some of the adults were in the sanctuary area praying, doing whatever. And me and the kids of the adults were all in this nursery area. And we had like one of those roll-in TVs where you could like, it's like a box TV on like the rolling wheels.
Yep.
We were watching, I remember we watched Mary-Kate and Ashley and we were just hanging out. We had a mattress in there in case we had to take cover under the mattress. I remember it was dark in there, but at one point I had to go to the bathroom and the pastor's daughter was watching all of us and she was like, okay, I can't remember if she was going to walk me to the bathroom or just let me out. But, you know, like those daycare rooms that have the two doors, like one's at the top half of the door and one's at the bottom half.
Yeah.
So she opened the bottom half of the door. And that's where I think of like, I don't know if I was in middle school or maybe younger, but because I was short enough to go under that door. So I could have been younger. But what I remember is I walked under that door and I felt something on my right hand side. And so I looked to my right and it was this long hallway. And I remember it was kind of dark in the hallway because it wasn't during like a service time. There were just people up there praying. So I look over though, and again, like as real as you and me, kind of like the quote unquote angel experience. Like he wasn't see-through. It looked like a human being. There was a man at the end of the hallway just staring at me. And he looked dirty and disheveled.
Not just a silhouette. You actually got
no.
a good look at him.
Yeah, no. I remember he was like dirty and disheveled. And I thought maybe he could have been like homeless or something. It sounds silly, but the best way I can explain him is he was kind of like Tarzan because he had very little clothing on. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost like a loincloth. And he had like shoulder length brown matted hair. He was dirty. And then he started running and he ran across the hallway, ran right in front of me, and then disappeared. Like right before he would get out of eye view, it was like he just materialized. And I screamed and I was like, there's a man in the hallway. There's a man in the hallway. And I remember the other kids freaking out, but I don't know if it's because I was freaking out or if they saw something. But my sister was there and I asked her about it and she said she didn't see him at all, but she saw like a shadow. So I don't know. I need to get more details from her. I don't know if she saw a shadow run by. I don't know if she looked in the hallway or what.
So you were in a church.
Yeah.
And you see a guy who was for the most part naked except for a loincloth.
Yeah.
With dirty shoulder length hair. Did he have a beard?
I don't remember if he had facial hair or not.
Could this have been Jesus?
So before we were going to do our recording, I started Googling just to see if anybody had had similar experiences, because I was like, I've never talked about this before and I don't know how to articulate it. And that was the only thing I came across, was like people saying they saw Jesus, but his energy felt dark. Like I was scared of him. Yeah. It didn't feel like how I would like to think seeing Jesus would feel, right? If that makes sense. And that's not the only time that I saw him. Like I saw him three separate times all in that same evening, but
really,
yeah. So saw him in the hallway. And again, this story is so choppy and fuzzy because I don't remember the timeline of everything. But the next thing I remember is at some point we were in the sanctuary for some reason. And I remember looking up and seeing him in the balcony, like on the edge, like he was going to jump off the balcony, like literally standing there. And I just remember kind of looking up and seeing him, freaked me out. I looked away. And then the last thing I remember is when it was time for all of us to leave and go home. And we walked outside after the weather had cleared out. We were getting ready to drive home. And there was like this courtyard area. And then it just opened into like the parking lot and eventually the street. And I remember when we walked outside, I saw him standing there and then I saw him run off. And again, he like materialized and disappeared. So I saw him three separate times. I don't know why I saw something like that. I've never talked about this before because it's such a weird thing to see. And kind of like what we talked about earlier, it's like we want to label things. And so it's hard for me because I like thinking about all the possibilities, but I don't even know what the possibilities are because it's so strange.
That is, I mean, when he was standing up on the balcony, he didn't take his arms and put them out to the sides. Did he?
Not that I can remember. No.
Did anybody else see him?
Not that I know of. I was thinking about reaching out to the woman that was watching us that evening because I remember her. And my mom is friends with her on Facebook. And she was the one who let me out to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, if anyone else would have seen it, it was probably her.
What about your parents? Like when you were going out to the parking lot to get in your car and you said you saw him again, did your parents see him then?
I don't think so. I think that was just me. The only one who kind of like verified my experience was my sister. She said that she saw like a shadow figure of some kind and she only saw it in the hallway. So I don't know. It's a weird one for sure.
The other thing that jumps out at me is like all of your experience has been around a lot of religious iconography. All right. So yeah. In your home, you know, your dad, your mom, all of that. And then, you know, seeing this in the church as well.
Right. Cause I haven't personally had, as far as like, at least it didn't register in my mind, I haven't had a UFO or a cryptid experience. I haven't had something that was like super like, oh, that must have been a ghost per se, or like an isolated event where it's like I can't really tie it back to religion in some way. And like I said, this was all like in that time frame of when I was like a very strong Christian. So that's like the one connection that I can kind of make
as a child. You said you were a strong Christian. Like,
yeah,
if you're being completely honest,
mm-hmm.
were you at that young age, were you this is going to sound terrible. Were you just going through the motions because that's all you knew? Or was your faith indelibly strong?
I did not know anything else. So I feel like there was a period as I got older where I was going through the motions. I feel like that probably started around high school. But in my younger years, I genuinely believed that God, like God, Jesus, the Bible, all of it, heaven, hell, I believed in all of it. I had completely bought in and I went to church 2-3 times a week. If my friends weren't Christian or quote unquote of the Lord, like I felt bad for talking to them or hanging out with them. Like I was that girl. And very much not that way now, but I feel like I didn't even start questioning it until I got older and like in high school and started hanging out with different people. Started getting into the arts more, like in theater and choir, and you know, meeting other people from different backgrounds and stuff. So,
sure.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder why. Why do these things happen? Why do some people have these experiences? Why do others just go through life and never have anything? Are they actually having experiences, but their brain immediately jumps to some kind of explanation that is more easily consumed by their brain than to accept that they've had some kind of a spiritual experience?
Right. Yeah. I've thought about that too. I was recording with my sister the other day for my podcast and we started talking about psychic mediums. And there's a big rabbit hole I went down recently, just watching a ton of videos of Tyler Henry, a really famous psychic medium. And when he does readings, he'll very often say, well, this loved one has tried to reach out to you before. They've tried to talk to you before, and you didn't hear them, or they came to you in this way. And it's not always going to be these big glaring signs like seeing Tarzan in a hallway or whatever. Like, you know, there's these things that cognitive dissonance is a real thing too, where it's like, if we don't understand it or we can't accept it, then a lot of times we kind of close that chapter.
Sure.
And I think that that's something that is important to challenge and question. You know, we're all on this earth to have one experience. why do we have to categorize it in these specific ways? I really try to like keep it open and say like, this is what happened. I don't know.
I think that's the best. I think it's good to acknowledge that you had the experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to be left wanting when it comes to not having an explanation for it.
Well, and I feel like when you try to find an explanation, you can go crazy because there's some things that it's just like you've exhausted all the avenues and you still don't know. So I think that it does make me feel a little bit better, though, especially with like stories that I cover. Like I pride myself on, there's definitely things I've gotten wrong. Don't get me wrong, but I pride myself on like really trying to research things well. And I'll look at tons of different sources and think of like a lot of different theories before I record and actually talk about something, because I want it to be compelling and I don't want it to have this one specific narrative. I want to be able to say like, it could have been this or this or this. So those are some of my favorite stories where it's not straightforward. I think that's important to just, keep your mind open.
It's important to keep your mind open, and it's important to hear others' perspectives on things.
Yeah.
You know, because that you may, you know, this may go out and there might be somebody who comments either on the show notes or the show online or on YouTube and says, you know, XYZ, same thing happened to me, you know, and that still doesn't give you any answers. But now,
no, but
you,
that would be,
now you realize you weren't the only one that had this experience. So,
yeah, that would be really interesting because I've never heard of anybody else having that kind of
Jesus
encounter. Tarzan. Yeah. Exactly. It sounds so silly, but I'm like, I literally don't. And that's like my childhood memory of it too. So, you know, that could be skewed, but I really don't know how else to describe them.
You know, now you said that you were scared.
Yeah.
That he scared you. But did he exhibit any kind of behavior that, like, made you scared? Or were you just scared because it was a guy in a dark hallway, you didn't know him, he shouldn't have been there, he wasn't dressed right? Mm-hmm. Was your fear based on just not being prepared to see that? Or was there some action or some behavior that he did that made you fearful?
I think his description, like you said, and him being in the dark hallway was a big part of it for sure. But also him running like across the hallway and being on top, like standing on the railing of the balcony, like just that was strange behavior for
sure. Did you ever notice, like, was he actually, did he make eye contact with you? Did he appear to recognize that you were there?
Yeah, he looked at me. I do remember that. Yeah, he knew I was there. And I think, so this is something else I've thought about. I think he didn't expect me to see him, and that's why he ran. It seemed like he was running away from me.
But he ran towards you, right?
He ran the only way he could. It was like one long hallway. Okay. So he ran to the other side. He did run in front of me, but then to the other side of the hallway out into like the lobby area. So it was like, I'm getting out of the situation.
How strange.
Yeah, it's definitely like the weirdest experience I've ever had. I don't know what to make of it at all.
And like, when he was on the balcony, you didn't look up and point and go, hey, everybody look.
I don't think so. I wish I could remember more, but I specifically remember not telling my parents. I don't know if there was this part of me that made me feel like I shouldn't say anything, or if it was like the whatever that thing was compelled me not to say anything. I don't know, but I didn't share. And then there were like, it was like several years ago when I was talking to my sister about it, and she said that she remembered seeing the shadow and being there that night. And we just, because we talk about stuff like this all the time, because, you know, she has similar interests to me.
Where did she see the shadow?
In the hallway is what she told me.
So you saw a full-fledged, barely clothed man, and all she saw was a shadow.
Yeah, it looked like a real human being. Like, there was nothing about him that didn't feel human, except when he disappeared. Like, he even ran like a normal human being, but then he kind of like almost turned into like a, I don't know, a mist is the best way I can explain it, and then he was just gone. So that's what was so weird about it. It was like, it was a real man, kind of creepy, weird that he's not wearing a lot of clothes, but then just gone.
Very strange. Kadra, it's been a pleasure talking with you. You're a joy to talk to. Do me a favor and let everybody know the name of the podcast. I'm going to let you do it so I don't screw it up. And where they can find you, what all kinds of stuff you got going on, and just tell them everything about you.
Sure. And I just want to say thank you to you too for having me on, Eric. This has been great.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah. I'll have to have you on over on Perplexity sometime.
I'd love it. Anytime. You just let me know.
So podcast is Perplexity, a mystery podcast. I'm on all podcast platforms. I am also on YouTube if you want to see my face. I release new episodes every Wednesday. I'm also on Patreon if you end up loving it and want more. And like I said at the beginning, I cover all things mysterious. So I have definitely covered my fair share of paranormal and cryptids. Also cover true crime, disappearances, psychological phenomenon. We talk about cults. And I really, really value listener input. So I'm always looking for topic requests. I read listener stories every time those get sent in as well. So I would love to have you guys over there. If you like uncomfortable, you will probably enjoy me as well, or at least I hope you will.
Well, all my uncomfortable friends, you need to go over and check out Perplexity, a mystery podcast. Before you even hit play, give her a 5-star and then leave her a really nice review after you're done listening. So Kadra, it's been a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again. If you ever want me on yours, just let me know. I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. I'll send you an email.
All right. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.